Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm bringing
get your sexy on.
You ready?
We are. And our NFL Game of the Week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, I told you we're ready. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, just like Tim Hasselbeck every week, and Gary Force Acura. Our game this week will be the Steelers and the Cowboys, which has been a great rivalry game over the years. Probably not so much this year. Coverage does begin at 3 p.m. Kickoff at 3:25 on Sunday. Once again, that's right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we do say hello and good afternoon to our man Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, what's up?
What's up? How are you guys?
Used to be Steelers, you know, Steelers-Cowboys. You knew what you were going to get. It was going to be a fun game. Two long-time rivals. Doesn't look like it's going to be a fun game this year, at least for Dallas.
I've always been a big fan of the Cooper Rush, Ben Roethlisberger battles, but you know, maybe not so much this year. You know, in all seriousness, though, like with Dak not getting hurt, you know, if Dak doesn't get hurt, then probably is amazing, you know, and you know, one that everybody's excited to see. So yeah, that team has been decimated, and I think you learn a lot about the guys on that roster through a season like this.
So the Titans were quite active, as we've talked in the first 2 hours of the show, after we were off the air yesterday. So late afternoon, John Robinson, Bo Brinkley, the long snapper, he's had his struggles the last couple of weeks. He's cut. Jonathan Joseph certainly had his struggles on Sunday, that's for sure, and has just looked like an aging corner who's 36 years old. He was cut. And Vic Beasley, who has chewed up a lot of our show for the last two-plus months or longer, he was shown the door. What did you make of those moves?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jonathan Joseph one wasn't surprising to me. I mean, I think that, you know, you didn't have to watch a bunch of the Titans games to realize that, you know, he was struggling. It felt like he was a guy that was identified by opponents as somebody that they wanted to test. I mean, just how I felt watching them and watching him. You know, the Bo Brinkley one is, I think, somewhat surprising because, you know, you have an operation. One, you have a punter who's traditionally been really, really good, and that's his long snapper. You have a field goal operation that, you know, has been inconsistent, and, you know, throwing kind of a wrench into that plan in operation and changing that, you know, typically does not make that improve. So that one surprised me because, you know, I think that, you know, he's been trusted as a long snapper, and seeing John Robinson's comments afterwards, you know, it seemed to think like, hey, whether it was kind of COVID into coming back and then, you know, rolling one back last week, it just, that's a position that they feel like they can kind of, you know, find someone else. And but that one was a little surprising, and, you know, as was the Vic Beasley thing, just from the point of it's an admission that you got it wrong when you consider what they paid him. And I know they paid him because other people were interested, but, you know, it was a swing and a miss and a pretty expensive one.
So I brought this up earlier, and I just want to get your opinion on how you navigate this moving forward, or just how you navigate this in general. You know, at this level, at the highest level, look, everybody's confident. You have to be confident to be a player, to be a coach, to be a front office person. This is not an easy job. That's why they get paid big bucks. But they're confident. And so the data in this case may be the people you talk to, and they say, you know what, Vic Beasley, just stay away. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time. I don't think he really loves the game. He's probably at the end. He's, you know, probably thinking about retirement. Just doesn't have that motor you're looking for. It's there when he wants to turn it on and he can do special things, but overall, I would just tell you to stay away. But then you go, yeah, but okay, that's fine, but they don't know us. I mean, Mike Vrabel is hands-on head coach and the staff. They'll get him in here. We'll get him in here, and we'll change, you know, the way he thinks. Like, that was Atlanta's version and their problem, but he'll be different with us. And the Titans are no different than, as you know, everybody else around the league. They all feel that way, right? I mean, that's how it works in the NFL. We can change that person. So how do you do that? How do you get past – like, you're not going to change who you are. You're going to remain confident.
Yeah.
You're going to remain confident in your staff and what you do. But how do you balance that of everybody's telling you, all the signs are saying, yeah, stay away. But you're like, yeah, but we can do things differently than everybody else. How do you do that?
Well, here's what I would say, and I think this is what you're getting at, is that, you know, is that every voice was like – yeah, you know, you probably don't want to go that direction, you know. And
do you know why I bring that up? Because we trotted, you know, guest after guest on this show from down there, whether it's Wes Durham, the play-by-play guy, Chris Domino, people in the market that all know Chris or Vic Beasley, and they all had the same message, like kind of what I've been saying. Yeah, you might want to stay
right.
away.
Yeah, but you know, just because that's who's saying it publicly doesn't mean that's the case. I'll give you a prime example for me.
Okay.
I sat in Dabo Swinney's office talking to him about a game I was calling of Clemson. This is sort of been last year, and not even sure how it ends up coming up, but we start talking about some guys that have been through that program. And sure enough, like, he starts raving about Vic Beasley and raving about Grady Jarrett and, you know, talking in a way like unsolicited about those guys. And so, you know, I think that you can sit there and go, well, wait a second, like, look what he's done with this program. He obviously, you know, the guy has physical talent, and here's this coach that got a lot out of him, and he kind of believes in this guy. Like, is there something there that somebody else is just getting wrong? Like, you know, is it a scheme thing? Was it a coaching thing? Like, what could it be? You know, and I think you can find other players. I'll give you another example. Like, Dante Fowler Jr. down in with the Jaguars was a disaster. I mean, don't you remember? I mean, it was like fights at training camp with other players. Like,
sure.
It was a train wreck. Well, he goes to the Rams, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, man, how are you going to block this guy? You know, like, that's – so, like, sometimes it works, because sometimes it is just kind of a bad fit for whatever reason, you know. And I would say this. I don't think that everybody – I think there are some people that were like, yeah, hey, Vic Beasley, no good. But I don't think everybody, you know, across the board was giving that type of scouting report on him.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that I mean, you're right. It's – they don't all – you're right. There's some places, sometimes you do take them in, and they do change under your system or your personnel, right? I mean, there are obviously success stories, but I don't know. This one obviously did not work out. What do you make of John Robinson's trade for Desmond Keane? What can you tell us about this guy from the Chargers, other than they can't hold a lead?
Yeah, well, I think – Desmond King's a good corner, and I think in the current situation with what we've seen from the Titans' defense and, quite honestly, why they released Jonathan Joseph is they need another corner. They need somebody that can hold up better, somebody that can win kind of at the moment of truth. I mean, I think that that's been the biggest thing for me. Probably the last 2 weeks, you know, is Jonathan Joseph's been a struggle, like, to the point where I'm trying, like, you know, like when I've been in the room with my boys watching the game, you know, they're like, man, like, they're always going after this guy. Like, that's what I mean about somebody that's been identified as like, hey, yeah, we're testing you. And so I think that, look, you're kind of preventing that from happening. I mean, I think that you know, Desmond King has viewed it as a, you know, a faster, younger, better player, you know. And listen, in fairness to Jonathan Joseph, he's had a great career. You mentioned his age. Not many people play, you know, in the NFL as long as he's played in the NFL, and he was very good as a younger player. So, look, I think that there's probably two things if I were the Titans, kind of looking at the current situation and even what happened a week ago. Like, they didn't get the quarterback down. They got to him a few times, but they weren't getting him down. And if you look at whether it was Burrow just escaping what could have been a really bad play and a sack and put him behind schedule, but a throwaway, or creating a big play, you know, between the pass rush and how they've covered, like, something needs to improve, and maybe it's improved in both areas so that, you know, they, you know, don't find themselves kind of in the situation they found themselves, whether it was, you know, with Ben when they played Pittsburgh, or whether it was, you know, what just happened last week against Cincinnati, if they want to really be the team that I think they kind of feel like they're close to being.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking football here. Tim, Corey Davis, we had an interesting discussion about him yesterday. I want to bounce it off of you. He's a free agent at the end of the year. They declined the fifth-year option, understandably, because of the price tag of being the fifth overall pick. He's been very productive, and we're weighing the options, you know, trying to maybe go after a contract extension now before he hits the market. Maybe you save some dollars, letting him walk, and then taking your chances of signing another free agent receiver. We know that that's A, expensive, and B, a total wild card, and then C, drafting somebody else. What would you do with a guy like that who's not spectacular, but you kind of know what you're getting with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge ends up being that, like, what the Titans want to do with him versus what, you know, Corey Davis probably feels like would be available to him are going to probably be two radically different things. You know, I'm sure there's probably some type of disappointment from his end that the team didn't pick up the fifth-year option, you know, whether he, you know, sees their point of view on it or not. But, like, for him, you've kind of done the work from the standpoint of, like, why would you re-sign without knowing what else is out there? Like, he was, you know, he was drafted very high. There were other people that would have drafted him that high. It wasn't like the Titans reached for him. So there's people that think highly of his physical ability. And, you know, he's, like, this year, at least from my vantage point so far, like, it seems like this could end up being his best year, you know, like, especially if the quarterback continues to play really well. So, you know, if you're him in that situation, you're going, well, wait a second. Like, look around the league at some of these teams that are going to want to fix their wide receiver situation. The Eagles, the Giants, you know, the Texans, I mean, you can run around the league and go, well, wait a second, like, I would be an upgrade at some of these other places, and, you know, they're going to need, you know, the market for a wide receiver. I'm probably going to get a better deal from you know, by waiting. So, like, I don't really know. I think the Titans kind of signaled their hand on it when they did it. I think it kind of made that decision that he was going to play elsewhere. So I don't really see why Corey Davis at this point would accept a deal with being this close to free agency.
There was an open discussion during the Saints-Bears game between Joe Buck and Troy Aikman about Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. When the Bears were struggling, now, of course, to their credit, they were able to get the game to overtime. They had a chance to win. There was kind of a, do you consider putting Trubisky in there? Both of their numbers are pretty ugly. The offense hasn't done really well. Neither has had the support of a running game. But what are your thoughts? Like, if you're the Titans, do you have to sort of prepare for them to make a change, possibly?
Well, and they even put Mitch in and, you know, did a little something different with him, you know, for a play. And not that you got to over prepare for that, but look, I kind of operate, you know, with the idea that, like, when you make a move, like, you better be making a move for good, right? Like, you know, when the Titans decided to go to Ryan Tannehill last year, like, I got the feeling it was for good. Now, obviously, he played well and it made it easy, but when you do that, I think you're signaling, like, hey, this is the decision we're making. I thought all along that they would name Mitch Trubisky to be the starter to start the season, but if it didn't go well, that they would make the move. I just didn't think that they would be 3-0 and decide that it didn't go well, you know, and then have Nick come in and, you know, they're doing okay, but like offensively, it's really not all that different. And watching that game last week, you know, the job the defense did was amazing. The defense kept them in that game, so much so where you thought, there's a chance Chicago wins this football game with the offense playing horribly against a team that a lot of people think is as good as anybody in the NFC. So I think you prepare for Nick Foles. I think that you could see Trubisky. But if I were Matt Nagy, I'm playing Nick Foles. And I do think, even though he struggled, Willie, that there probably is a confidence in Nick Foles throughout that locker room that doesn't exist for Trubisky.
And just while we're at it, how good is the Bears defense? It's interesting. You have a struggling defense against a struggling offense in this matchup, and you have a very good offense in the Titans against a very good defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really good. And they're good at every level, right? So, you know, as a pass rusher, they have an elite pass rusher. They have an elite interior defensive lineman. Roquan Smith, if anyone who watched that Saints-Bears game a week ago, was remarkable, at middle linebacker, did an amazing job kind of defending Alvin Kamara, a bunch of times. People obviously familiar with Eddie Jackson, who's a big-time playmaker at the safety position. Like, they really are, they're really talented and they're well-coached. I mean, I think so. That's a really good group. And I think the style of offense for the Titans is obviously very different than what the Bears faced a week ago. And so, like Roquan Smith, it's better for him to be running around covering space rather than, dealing with, a back that weighs more than him coming downhill on him. So, I think that the Titans' style of play is maybe a benefit to them.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us every Wednesday at noon, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine. Tim, this is a two-part question. It's staying in this in the NFC North. Do you think the Vikings are a better team than their record shows right now?
I do, because and I think we've talked about them in past years, but like, they're always going to be well-coached on defense because of Zimmer. They can run the football, and as much as it continues to be kind of an unpopular take, like, I think Kirk Cousins is better than kind of everybody else thinks he is.
Fair. Okay. So on the other side of that, the team they beat.
Even Teddy Bridgewater, by the way.
Yeah, well, I know.
Do
you think that Green Bay is maybe a worse team than their record shows, or was last week just one of those tough division rivalry matchups?
No, I think it's a tough division rivalry matchup. I think the reality is Green Bay is still really good. They were 13-3 last year. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the game. They have really talented players on defense. Like, to me, Green Bay is a really good team. And I think part of what happened, we're at this halfway point, and I was talking to a friend of mine who is a coach in the NFL. It's his first year in the NFL, and he's coached in college, and he actually coached in high school as well. And I'm like, it's a marathon, the NFL season. It's like, boy, is it long. Like, you're not kidding. And, like, you see this happen. Look, the Titans are a way better team than the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a much better team. But it is still pro football. And,
right.
So when you get a division matchup like we saw in Green Bay, in kind of this weird environment where there's no fans in the stands and it's just kind of strange. And, oh, by the way, it's just kind of the halfway point of the season. And it's getting a little monotonous and some of the things are wearing you down. Like, those things happen. Like, it's – and they happen to really good teams. So I do think Green Bay is still really good.
Going to the AFC, the Dolphins make the change to Tua. They've won 3 in a row. 4-3 overall on the season. Buffalo still 6-2, so still atop that division. But do you think the Dolphins have something here that they could maybe challenge to win the AFC East?
I'm not sure they're going to win the AFC East. I will say this, like, you know, to get that kind of performance out of your defense and special teams for that matter each and every week. No, I mean, that's like, I don't see how that can happen. And Tua is going to need to play better. You know, I mean, he threw for less than 100 yards. I felt like they really protected him. And so, you know, how well he plays, or the expectation of how he's going to play, I think is still very much up for debate based on what we saw last week. Because, you know, I did a breakdown tape on kind of the good and the bad. And the truth was, like, you know, there was just as much bad as there was good in how he played a week ago. And so I think that, I think they may have a long way to go still with him as their quarterback.
All right, now we say hello to Tim Hasselbeck, ACC Network analyst, for this next question.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to switch gears there. Clemson had a tough time against your BC Eagles, but they ultimately get the win without Trevor Lawrence. A little tougher test this week against Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so I know that DJ, I'm going to bypass on his name here. So
that's okay.
Uyagalele?
So
is that right?
There you go.
Uyagalele. Yeah, I got to say it slowly. So here's the thing: his numbers look good and stuff, but you just go back to that play. I don't know if, you know, anyone who saw it, the 90, you know, 7-yard fumble recovery for a return for a touchdown by BC. Like, that's 100% on the quarterback. The ball is up around Etienne's throat when he's handing it off to him, you know, not where Etienne's expecting the football. And I think little things like that are where they miss Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, the rest of the numbers, I think when you play in that offense, they're going to kind of be that way because they're so talented. But that to me would scare me if I'm Clemson because, you know, Notre Dame is – they're difficult to defend because the quarterback is a way better runner than people kind of realize or give him credit for. I actually think he's a better runner than passer. Defensively, they're really good, and they've got a good offensive line. It's just kind of typical of Notre Dame. You know, where I think Notre Dame is probably not the same right now is, you know, in years past, is, you know, Clemson has the advantage of corner. And Notre Dame's receivers have been inconsistent. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I think Notre Dame has the ability for sure to beat them, with no Trevor Lawrence playing. And, quite honestly, I think part of it comes down to Clark Lee, Nashville native, by the way, defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. You know, if he can confuse the young quarterback, then I think Notre Dame's got a legitimate shot to win.
What game do you have this week?
I have somehow become like the voice of the Virginia Cavalier football program.
Nice.
I have Louisville at Virginia Tech this weekend. Or sorry, at Virginia this weekend.
Okay. All right. We'll check that out on the ACC Network.
Yeah, but listen, it's up. Hey, it's up against Clemson, Notre Dame. So I know that the only person that's going to be watching Louisville, Virginia, is you, Chase.
That's right.
I know that's the type of loyalty. Yeah.
You can
tell us who's going to win the game. We might all be watching it. If you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. If I felt like I was good at that, I would. I might be operating with the same accuracy as some of these pollsters, Darren. because I did not think that Virginia was going to score over 40 points last weekend, which they did. I think that was probably a surprise to all. So I don't want to give any advice there.
Fair enough.
Yes, indeed.
You don't want to go down the hole of posters. You want to stay away from that one.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. It was a good line by you, though. Definitely a good line. Well, have fun with that. Good stuff, as always. And we'll chat next week.
Cool. See you, fellas.
By the way, real quick, do you see – I know we've talked a lot about it already, but and you've kind of. But how do you see that? So the Titans have now dropped two in a row. They're 2-5-1 teams, but they don't feel like it, right? So how do you see this one playing out on Sunday, ultimately?
I think the Titans win. I think they will. I think, like I said, kind of before, I think their offensive style of play is good. Is a good matchup against his defense to not play to their strengths, and I think you just got to find opportunities, like when they do give you a chance to play the football on defense, that you do that and you make them pay for it. And I think, I mean, this is going to sound harsh, but like, you know, the Jonathan and Joseph thing, like that felt like a liability, and that's now removed. You know, okay. And I think that's a good thing for them.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, boys.
Our man Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine out in Bellevue where Chase is. And he's got a word. Speaking of that, we were looking for winners. Maybe he's got a winner.
Oh, I got some winners. BetMGM. That's what you need to do. I've been telling you about them for the last few weeks. So if you haven't downloaded the app yet, do that. They have it for iOS or Android, so it's that simple. Search BetMGM, get that app downloaded, because they are celebrating their arrival in Tennessee by offering new customers $100 in free bets when they wager $1 on the Tennessee Titans game. That's right. Sign up for BetMGM and use this bonus code 1025GAME, and you can immediately turn $1 into $100. The Volunteer State loves sports. You know I love sports. We love sports on this show, and we love betting on them with BetMGM. No one makes the game more interesting like BetMGM. They have parlay bonus payouts, live betting action, daily boosted odds specials. I have taken advantage of those, and that has been very, very beneficial to me, and much more. The same folks that bring you Showtime to world-renowned casinos and resorts have brought Game Time to Tennessee. So download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com. Get $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Titans game and use bonus code 1025GAME. Bet confidently with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee for problem gambling support. Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Darren Morrison bringing us back from the break. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth. Like our man Tim Hasselbeck, he brought it. Last 30 minutes of this third hour of the show. You've got some pro football outsider numbers that you would like to pass along, Willie, so I'm going to let you do that. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's start with what we discussed a little bit with Tim. Is you have a matchup here of something's got to give, right? You've got a defense that has been raked over the coals in the Titans. Everybody's belly aching about it for good reason. You've made big personnel changes, especially with Beasley and with Jonathan Joseph, who that was really the emphasis of Tim, right? And he's right. Jonathan Joseph was on the TV screen a lot because he was being challenged a lot. They've made changes. They're trying to patch it up. Meanwhile, you got the Bears, who have had every bit the scrutiny about their offense, right? It's a big thing. And the numbers, certainly from Football Outsiders, bear that out. The Bears ranked 27th in offense. The Titans ranked 20th in defense. So is this a Titans defense that can win that matchup? And then on the other side, you have the Bears defense, which is ranked 5th in Football Outsiders. And as you heard Mike Vrabel stress, they're the best. They're outstanding on third down getting off the field, unlike a defense that we know well. It's been a well-told story, right? So you couldn't have a bigger contrast. But, of course, the Titans are 4th in overall offensive efficiency. So I always am curious when you have a matchup like that. Strong suit versus strong suit, weak suit versus weak suit.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting. Tim talking about Nick Foles. I could not have been less impressed with him watching him on Sunday.
He was not impressive. And here's some. I did some numbers because I was thinking, All right, do they consider Trubisky? Because as Tim said, the biggest thing about making the change to Trubisky or from Trubisky was they were 3-0 at the time. Right? They had gone 3-0, like him or not. For Football Outsiders, Nick Foles has played enough to qualify. He's ranked 26th in the league in the overall efficiency. If you look at QBR, which ESPN likes, which considers your ability to run, he's 27th. 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Trubisky hasn't played enough to qualify to get ranked, but his numbers are even worse than Foles. 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, but the numbers in terms of, you know, all the metrics that go in, he wasn't better. So I tend to agree with Tim that this is just where they want to go right now.
Where's Tannehill on that?
Oh, Tannehill has outstanding numbers. He give me 1 second to get to that page, but he's in the top 5. Or top 6. He right now is 5th in overall efficiency, or 3rd, depending on which metric you look at. And in QBR, he's 7th. So
that's good.
He continues to be at a very, very high level. Derrick Henry has moved up to 2nd in most efficient running backs, which doesn't tell you everything, right? But when you have a guy getting the amount of yards he's getting and getting the attention he gets, and you have the efficiency on top of that, it shows you the difference he's making. Corey Davis and A.J. Brown both have outstanding numbers right now. You contrast that with the Bears' offense, it's quite different. But of course, the Bears, this will be a really good test because the Bears' D brings a lot to the table. Here's another thing I looked at. The Bears, they actually throw the ball a lot because they can't run it very well, right? So they drop back a fair amount of times. They've allowed 20 sacks, which is about the middle of the road in terms of percentage of the time you get sacked, right? So is this the week that the Titans get in there at all? And along the same lines, the Titans have dropped, as you might guess, with no sacks against the Bengals, they've dropped to last in the percentage of the time that they're getting a sack. 2.4% of dropbacks, they're getting a sack, dead last in the league. So we'll see if it's any better this week. And can they avoid giving up, you know, maybe not huge amounts of yards on the ground? But as we've talked about, it's part of the equation. They're not stuffing the run quite as well as they have in the past.
They're not.
I looked at this. Right now, Tennessee is 24th against the pass and 17th against the run by Football Outsiders. Last year, 22nd against the pass for the entire season, and 11th against the run. So they were stopping the run a lot better last year, which certainly helps. And it's not like their pass rush was great shakes, but it was certainly better last year.
Well, and that just goes to how much they're missing Dean Pease.
I was going to say, well, and it sounds like a conversation we had earlier in the show.
And
Jarrell Casey.
And
Logan Ryan. Yeah. And Leslie Wood. I mean, you know, it's back to our conversation earlier.
And by the way, they didn't bring Wesley Woodyard back because they really liked David Long. Where's David Long been?
Who?
Exactly.
David Long. When's the last time you saw him?
Who?
On the field. Yeah. Is he hurt?
Who?
Yeah, I have no idea where he is.
He's an owl. Who?
Who?
That's a really good question, though. I don't know the answer to that. I guess it's probably simple. Either he's hurt or he hasn't been out there. He's got to be hurt, right? He's not on the practice squad.
It's very clear that Mike Vrabel puts a lot, and there's nothing wrong with this, but just stuff that he has said, he puts a lot of stock into practice. And that's why they do it, but he puts a lot of stock in what you do out there leading up to game time, right? I think he's made moves because of that. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, but clearly, I guess I'm bringing that up because if you're not seeing action and wondering why, well, it's probably easy to start there and say, well, they're obviously not seeing what they want to see behind the scenes, right? During the week, because he's made comments about that. I mean, I think whenever their Jackson was playing, not Adoree, their 7th round pick, it's because I think they liked what he was doing during the week. And then all of a sudden, then he wasn't playing when he was healthy, and it probably was because they didn't like what they were seeing. So I don't know if that's a part of it, but it does seem like you are judged by what you do during the week, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if necessarily every coach takes that approach, but Mike Vrabel does.
Yeah.
I'm looking at long game by game. The last time he had any stats was against Buffalo. He doesn't appear at all in Pittsburgh. He's listed, I'm just looking at ESPN, listed in Houston and Cincy, but no tackles. So that's a great question. Now, in fairness, is Wesley Woodyard
in the roster?
He is on the
roster. Can't confirm that.
Who?
Is Wesley Woodyard on a roster? Like, he was getting old.
No, he is not.
So you can't blame them for that. That happens every year. You get younger. You determine that a guy just can't do it anymore. And he was playing a role last year. Jayon Brown has been outstanding, and we know he's going to be on the field a lot. So the issue with the defense, we'll see if they can put the new pieces out there and have it be better, especially in the secondary. The pass rush, boy, you believe it when you see it, because we know it's not Beasley. It hasn't been Beasley, so can a live body out there just be an upgrade?
As we've already said, leading up to him getting released, how could it honestly be any worse? Can't.
Yeah, that's at this point.
It just can't. I mean, I've said it for weeks on the show. He's been a zero, so you can't be worse than a zero. So I would have to say anything is going to be an upgrade. I guess the question is, how big of an upgrade? Is it a slight upgrade, or is it an upgrade? You know, an upgrade that actually, it's like, oh, okay, a little production from that side. But I don't know. We'll see. I have real concerns about, you know, can they win this game? Absolutely. Can they beat Chicago? But we've talked about their schedule. I mean,
they need this one back.
They got two Colts games and the Ravens after this. I mean, there's three massive games after this game. And I wonder, against teams like that, can they fix these things enough to find ways to eke out wins?
They need this as a cushion.
Right. Yes.
Because it's going to be tough to get through that stretch of games you just mentioned unscathed. Now, the Colts have to play the Ravens as well, right? That's coming up this weekend.
Yep.
So the Colts are going to be coming off a game against Baltimore, an angry Baltimore team that felt like they gave the game away against the Steelers. So that'll be a challenge for the Colts. But, you know, you would hate to lose back-to-back. It's one thing to slip up against the Bengals. It happens in this league, right? For a team that, as much as maybe we hoped when they were 5-0, maybe they were getting to juggernaut status, this Titans team is not a juggernaut. They're a good team that has regressed to the mean a little bit, right? They haven't been able to pull out the close games like they were. So you slip up against the Bengals, it happens. It happened to the Packers against the Vikings. You know, it almost happened to the Buccaneers against a really bad team in the Giants. So it can happen. But you cannot have two straight games that, even though the Bears are 5-3, this is one, it's like, you got to have it, right? If you're good, you don't need to be dropping two in a row to those two teams when you have Colts, Ravens, Colts on the horizon.
Talk a little SEC to close out the third hour on the other side. Will Healy, Charlotte head coach, to start the fourth and final hour here on this Wednesday. You're listening to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, ESPN 102.5, The Game, and 94.9 is going to be your exclusive home for the 2020 Masters Tournament. Yes. We'll have leaderboard updates next week, starting on Thursday. So Thursday and Friday of next week on our show, we will have leaderboard updates throughout the day here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. And then Saturday and Sunday, which is November 14th and 15th, ESPN 94.9 will broadcast the Masters live both days. So that will be your home on Saturday and Sunday for the entire coverage on 94.9. It's all brought to you by Music City Golf Store in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. Big weekend in the SEC. You've got Florida and Georgia the 2:30 big CBS game. Got Vanderbilt, Mississippi State is also 2:30 down in Starkville. A&M at South Carolina will be the 6 o'clock game in Columbia. And also on the nightcap, it'll be the final game in the SEC, 6:30 our time on SEC Network, Tennessee at Arkansas. I said yesterday with Mitch Light, and we really haven't had a chance to discuss it at all. I'll probably bring it up with Paul Feinbaum tomorrow in the first hour of the show. But I can't believe there's not been more heat on Dan Mullen. I actually saw where Steve Spurrier was asked about it. In fact, it was on Paul Feinbaum's show yesterday, and Steve Spurrier even called out Dan Mullen a little bit, you know, within reason, because he was with Scott Strickland at the game when it all took place. I thought Dan Mullen's actions were pathetic, and I'm surprised he hasn't been hammered more than he has, because I thought he was completely out of control, and I didn't think he showed any leadership whatsoever. In fact, I thought he was inciting a lot of it. I frowned at everything Dan Mullen did on Saturday, and I'm surprised there hasn't been more backlash. A $25,000 fine, whoop-de-doo.
Slap on the wrist.
For him?
That's what that is.
And this is also after the, you know, the complete crazy comment of, we want a full stadium.
Yes.
Right after they lost it.
Yes.
Like he gets these, he's got some of the goofiest moves of any coach in the country so far.
Well, and here's what's interesting about him. And because I know you guys talked to him several times when he was at Mississippi State. You know, he built that program, got him to number one, obviously, Dak Prescott. But now he's gone to Florida, and he's had a little bit of a – he's still Dan Mullen, but there's a little bit of a personality shift. We're seeing a little bit more of that come out, and not necessarily in a good way. He's right in the middle of this brawl. I mean, what you just talked about with the filling up the stadium. I mean, it's a little bit of a, to use the wrestling analogy, maybe he's starting to have the heel turn now that he's the head coach of the Gators. And I like Dan Mullen a lot. I think he's a very good coach. This is obviously a huge game for him, but
why?
Yeah. I mean,
what's the case? Why?
Right. That's what I'm getting at, because it worked at a school like Mississippi State that, you know, doesn't have the same pedigree or the resources that Florida has. So why change? I mean, why do you need to be different? I know, you know, now it should be easier because of your profile as a head coach and also the profile of the program. So I don't really understand why he has to act this way.
I mean, he went storming onto the field, racing toward the officials. I mean, he is in the middle. In fact, his players see him. That's what I think. Honestly, that's why I keep saying he incited. I just think he really got everybody riled up. They're like, well, if coach is acting like that, we can act like that. And then he goes in the tunnel. By the way, I didn't see him trying to jerk players away at all. If anything, like I said, he was in the middle of it all and going absolutely bonkers. Then he comes back out of the tunnel to, like, you know, get the crowd into it. Then he's in the Darth Vader outfit in his post-game interview. I don't know what's going on. I just thought he was way over the top on Saturday, and I thought it was ridiculous.
You know who I'm a little I'm disappointed in? Not a little. I am disappointed in. It's somebody that we have a lot of respect for and has been on this show quite a bit. That's Greg Sankey, the commissioner. He releases this statement saying there is no place in college football for the kind of incident that took place at halftime of Missouri Florida on Saturday night, yet it's a $25,000 fine and a reprimand. What is a reprimand?
Give me
what is
nothing.
That?
A written warning.
It's this.
Exactly.
You hear that?
I don't even know if you get that. It's just a verbal. It's a verbal.
Like, hey, Dan.
Cut
no.
it out.
No.
Okay, thank you.
You were caught. You were caught speeding. You were pulled over. You were going way over the speed limit, and he says, hey, just slow down, and walks away.
Sawyer, that was not directed at you. I'm sorry. But the dog looked at me like, what did I do?
Why do I get blamed for everything?
He heard no and thought that was directed
at me. Didn't do anything. I'm just laying here. Stop blaming me.
Sorry, Sawyer.
By the way, I 100% agree with you. I was really disappointed in Dan Mullen, who I think is a tremendous football coach, extremely disappointed in his actions, and disappointed in a guy that we have praised for the job that he's done as the commissioner of the SEC, which is not an easy job, and Greg Sankey. And, yeah, I thought it was a pretty lame come out and say, you know, this will not be tolerated. And it's like, but.
Okay, yeah, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, right. But, you know, just don't do it again.
I think that's not good enough.
I
think if you sat him down for the Georgia game, that might get people's attention. That would say something.
I will tell you this. I was watching, what is it, SEC Now, later in the night on Saturday.
Yep.
What's kind of like their post-game show?
Yeah.
Which has like Roman Harper and Gene Chizik and Chris Doering and Dari. Just me reading Gene Chizik's body language. He wanted to say something, but wasn't. You know what I mean? Like he wanted to say, this is coach observing another coach. I think he wanted to go there. I think Steve Spurrier doesn't care, and Steve went there a lot more than Gene did because Steve Spurrier's at the game, and Steve Spurrier was asked on Feinbaum's show yesterday, and yet he was still willing to go there a little bit. You know, he didn't go over the top. But he's another one. I think he had more to say. I think they're embarrassed as former coaches to see Dan Mullen acting like that. I was embarrassed for him. I was like, dude, you're better than that. Are you kidding me? You acted like some rookie no-name head coach. Some guy, you know, at some smaller program. I mean, you've got to be kidding me, man. You're the Florida head coach out there running around acting like that? Give me a break. You're a seasoned, you're a vet in this conference. What are you doing? And, you know, to have Greg Sankey handle things the way that he has over the years, which I think for the most part has been really good, to just kind of give a slap on the wrist. Now, was it because the next game was Georgia? If Florida was, you know, no disrespect, but if Florida was playing Vanderbilt this week, do you think he would have come down with harsher penalties? Or do you think because it was this massive SEC tilt Florida-Georgia that he went light?
It's a very good question.
It's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know. I think at this point now, if he does anything else, there's no choice. He's got to have further discipline than that. But you do wonder, because this is such a big game. You're a league that, you know, you've had two teams in the playoff before. You'd love to have – there's incentive to have two teams make it this year. And the loser of this game is probably out. Right? The winner of this game stays alive in that chase of if you win the East and you win the SEC championship game with one loss, you're going to be in. And there would be a chance that a team comes out of the West with one loss, doesn't make it to the championship, or is undefeated in the championship, loses the championship. You could have a one loss non-champion still get in there, so you could get your two in the Final Four, possibly. If it all works out. Trevor Maddich had some good thoughts on that part of it, but this is a huge game.
Yeah, it's got a.
You're human, right? You have to be aware of this, and you have to have enough gumption if you feel like it's an offense worthy of a. Would you have been? I mean, that sounds a little harsh to suspend him for a half. Although there are players suspended for a half, right?
Why not? Yes.
And if the coach was the guy leading the brigade, then that should not excuse him. It's a fair thing to throw out there.
By the way, I don't know if either one of you have looked at the line for this game. Have you?
No.
Georgia by 3.5.
It's about right. I would have said 3.5, 4.
In Jacksonville.
I knew it was going to hover around a field goal, but I figured, you know, Georgia be a little bit up over that. But that's about right.
Should be a good game. Trevor you asked him about the Clemson quarterback situation and the matchup with Notre Dame, Chase, and Trevor Maddich had some good thoughts on that, on Uiagalelei. He said, if you watch, I did pick up on this watching the game, he has got a rocket of an arm. He can really sling it. He said it will be interesting to see what Notre Dame does with the game plan now that they've seen him. Right? Now, he's not an unknown factor. You have a little bit of idea of what they want to do with him. He can really hum those quick outs. He can throw to the sideline. And so Trevor was saying, if you're Notre Dame, maybe you try to get some defenders in the passing lane and make him throw it over you a little more to see if he has the touch to be able to hurt you down the field, especially Clemson doesn't have T. Higgins or, you know, the kind of receivers maybe they've had in the past. So can Notre Dame game plan their way and be right there? You know, there's a lot of opportunity here for Notre Dame. And then the question is if they do pull off the upset, Clemson could be sitting there at the end of the year with one loss saying, well, our one loss, we didn't have Trevor Lawrence. So that's another curveball thrown in a year of curveballs where you might have Ohio State at 6-0 sitting there. Well, we only played six games, but we were pretty darn good in those six games, right? There's all kinds of chaos that could be in there.
Let me talk about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. I've been talking about them for years because I've been going there for years. I know a lot of you have as well because they've been around in this market since 2007. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to improve your quality of life. Who doesn't want that, right? I would hope that all of you want that. And they do so many things under one roof. And if maybe you've been feeling a little off lately, haven't felt yourself, maybe you haven't had any, you know, desire to want to work out or do anything, just feel off and tired, go in there and talk to them about hormone replacement therapy. They can get you going in the right direction and change those feelings. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is so important at any year, but especially in 2020. We get it. Your routine's been thrown off. Maybe when your local workout place facility was closed for a good while, you just, when it opened back up, you just didn't get back into it. That's fine. And maybe you put on some unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you going in the right direction and shed those ASAP. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, just pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can learn everything about them at their website, coolspringsmd.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.